Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm ready to blow you away today with the power of God's word, because this word is powerful, amen? That Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who are lost, and that's us. And he rescued us from the dominion of death and darkness and hell and sin and the clutches of Satan itself, so that we can live eternally with Jesus Christ. This is the foundation of our faith, and forever it will be. Jesus Christ, crucified, resurrected for the forgiveness of sins, the only way to eternal life. Amen? I'm done. No, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? If we went to downtown Arvada today and we were roving reporters and we put a microphone in front of people's faces and we said, who is Jesus? What kind of answers would we get? Some would say he's a gifted orator. Some would say he's a mighty philosopher. Someone would say, well, he's just a great prophet or a wonderful man in history. Who do you say? Who do you say Jesus is? We're going to be answering that question today, because the answer is powerful. And there's only one answer that was nailed on the day that Jesus asked his disciples, who am I? And today we deal with that same question, and it's an important one, and it's a life-changing one, and it separates those who do not head to heaven and those who do. What we do with this question, who is Jesus, is a game changer. Now, Jesus first asked this question at a place called Caesarea Philippi, and some 17 days ago, my wife and I and our little boy were there. Caesarea Philippi is about 30 miles north of the Sea of Galilee, or on this map, Lake Hula. The Sea of Galilee is just north. You see Caesarea Philippi just north of the Sea of Galilee. And it's where the Jordan River starts to have tributaries. And it's green, and it's lush, and it's gorgeous. It's named after Caesar Augustus. And Herod's son, a guy by the name of Philip, loved Caesar so much and loved himself so much that he decided to build a town there, and he named it after himself. Caesarea, what? Philippi. Now Jesus gathers his disciples there, and he asks a very important question. He says, who does the world say that I am? And the disciples said, some say that you're John the Baptist. Others say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets who's been raised from the dead. And all those answers are good ones. But Jesus is so much more than that. So much more than, quote, just a prophet. It's like they were saying, the world says that you're pretty special. The world says that you're pretty cool. But Jesus is saying, I'm so much more than just a prophet. Guys, this is what a lot of people believe today. This is what the Muslims believe today, that Jesus was just a prophet, that he's nothing more than sent from God. He's on the same par with Jeremiah, the same par with Elijah, the same par with John the Baptist. He's just a great prophet, and the greatest prophet of all is Muhammad. The greatest prophet of all is Jesus Christ. Amen? But he's so much more than that. It's not what the world says. We've already said what the world says Jesus is. He's just a wise philosopher, a gifted orator, marvelous teacher, nothing more, nothing less. And the Muslims say the very same thing than that. So Jesus asks a really important question to his disciples. This is what the world says I am. Who do you guys say I am? And the one who is a spokesman for the group, the leader of the group, who never was short on words, decided to answer for everybody. Who was that guy? A guy by the name of Peter. And Peter said, "You are the Christ." Let's stop right there. What does Christ mean? Anointed one, Messiah, the one who the Old Testament prophets predicted was to come, the one who would save people from sin and hell and death. You are the Messiah. What a great confession. You are the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of what? The living, this is important, the what God? Living God. That's important. Why? Because a lot of gods have been taught and professed and come and gone, and they're all dead. None of them live. None of them have ever lived. We went to a place called Abu Simbel. And Abu Simbel is a great temple dedicated to Ramses II. It was built in 2500 BC, before Abraham and before Moses. And this guy by the name of Ramses II thought pretty highly of himself because he said, "I'm a god." And he built this temple dedicated to himself. And those four different statues epitomize different stages of his life. And he had many wives. And back then, back in Old Testament times, before Abraham, the Egyptians said, "Our Pharaoh is God." And he believed he was. And he had many wives. And can you imagine him saying to one of his wives, "Hey, honey, what do you want to do today?" And she says, "Well, I was thinking maybe we'd go for a walk or maybe go on a little picnic." And he says, "Hey, I got a better idea. Let's go to the temple and worship me." I mean, how ridiculous is that? Ramses is dead. Muhammad is dead. Buddha is dead. All the prophets, even in the Old Testament, have come and gone. They're all dead. What did Peter say? "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." There's only one God that lives, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Always has been, always will be, and forever will be the only living God. So let's go back to our text. Jesus says, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter says, "You're the Christ, the Son of what? The living God." You got it. And Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Bar-Jonah." That was his parents' name. And then Jesus said, "For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." What did he mean by that? This is a spirit-induced response of who I am, Peter. And the Father has revealed it to you. Every one of you here today who believe in Jesus Christ, it's not a decision you made to trust in Jesus. You don't have the power, will, spirit, or volition to trust in Christ. What do we say in the third article of the Apostles' Creed? The meaning, I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the one true faith, even as he calls, gathers, and enlightens the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith. What Jesus was saying to Peter is, the Father has revealed to you who I am. And I can say to every one of you here today, the Father, by the Holy Spirit, has revealed to you who Jesus Christ is. So, Jesus says to Peter, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this has not been revealed to you by flesh and blood." You didn't make, quote, a decision for Christ, but this has been revealed to you by the Father. Now listen to this. Then he says this. "And you are Peter." What's that mean? The rock. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, some people think that means that Peter was the rock of the church. Is that what that means? No. Peter was not the rock. The confession he made that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is the rock. The confession that binds people together in every generation is that there is only one way to heaven, and Jesus Christ is it. One way to forgiveness, one way to heaven, one way to eternal life, one way to a right relationship with God, and that's through faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. That is the confession of the church, and that confession is the bedrock of the church. Jesus said, upon this rock, this confession, Peter, that you have made, I will build my, what did he say? Church. What's that mean? Peace Lutheran Church? No, what is the church? All people in every generation, in every era that believes in Jesus Christ. Listen to this. There's going to be a day when Starbucks is dead. There's going to be a day when Walmart is dead. There's even going to be a day when the United States will not exist anymore. The Persians, the Greeks, the Romans, the Babylonians, every one of those civilizations shriveled up and died. There is only one living institution that will go on into eternity, and that living institution is the church. If Jesus doesn't come back in the next 500 years, there's still going to be people all around the globe, hopefully more than now, that still confess the saving name of Christ. The only institution that lasts into eternity is the church. And that's what Jesus was saying. Upon this rock, Peter, this confession that you've made that I'm the Christ, I will build my church. Now listen to this. This is really cool. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So at this place called Caesarea Philippi, the false god by the name of Pan was worshipped by people. And Pan was a false god, not a living god, false god of nature. And so if people believed in this god, they would go to this place, and off of that cliff, and below was a cave, people would literally sacrifice their babies to the god of Pan by throwing them over the cliff. Do you know what the Jews called this place? Hell's Gate. What did Jesus say? Upon this church, Peter, you've made the confession, and upon this church, I have built that confession, and the gates of what? Hell. Hell's Gate. The Jews call this Hell's Gate. In other words, people are sacrificing their babies to this false god. He's a dead god. He's not a living god. Jesus was saying, I am the living God. And even this false theology, this false god, cannot prevail against the confession you've made. Now, what else does a gate do? It holds things back. It contains things. And what Jesus was saying, eternal life and forgiveness of sins and the promise of a better life to come cannot be held back by the gates of hell. They're released. And through faith in Jesus, we've got it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. He rose again from the dead to defeat death. And every person that confesses his name has, not possibly could be or should be or might have, everybody who confesses that has eternal life. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against that confession. I'm only halfway done with my sermon. I'm going to have to cut it short. I'm sorry, you guys. I got so much more to say. I'll continue it next week or something. Yeah. So this is the confession we make. And this is Reformation Day, so we got to talk about Luther real quick. Luther thought he was saved by his works, and it wasn't until he studied Romans chapter 1, verse 17, that says the just shall live by faith, that he understood that we're not saved by our works, but by faith in Jesus Christ alone. When we were sailing down the Nile, it was so funny. There were young men, 15, 20, 25 years old, that had boats next to this boat. We were sailing down the Nile in this like cruise ship, if you will. It wasn't real big. Had about 100 people in it, but we're sailing down the Nile, and these young men would hitch their boat, their little 10-foot fishing boat, onto the side of our boat, our cruiser, as we were heading down the river. And I thought, how in the world did they do that? I don't know how they did it. They somehow threw a rope up there, it latched onto the side of the boat, and they would get a free ride. However, the reason they did that was to sell their wares. And so we were asleep taking a nap one afternoon, and we hear this, hello, hello. And I open up our window, and there's this guy, and he says, $1 for this scarf, $1. And then he said, where are you from? And I said, the United States of America. And he said, how now, brown cow? Like, not Osaken, you see, or America the Beautiful. The thing I identified with America was, how now, brown cow? What do we identify Jesus with? A philosopher, an orator, a prophet? No, he's the Christ. Is that who he is to you today? Who is Jesus to you? Why do you come to this place? Do you come just to hear a good speech, hopefully? Or to sing great hymns? Or has something happened here and here that convicts you of sin and enables you to put your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? There is no other way than Jesus. And civilizations die, and false philosophies fade. But the one enduring truth is Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected for the forgiveness of sins. And that's who I pray you trust in today. So how do you keep that faith? If you're a believer in Christ, and I assume you are, how do you keep that faith? It doesn't happen by being a C&E Christian. What's that? Christmas and Easter. We weed and feed our yards. How do you weed and feed your soul? How do you do that? You just keep hearing the Word of God. You keep hearing the Word of God. By the way, in the hill country of Jerusalem, there are real shepherds and real sheep are grazing, but that's what they graze on. I wonder, how come these sheep aren't skinnier? Look at that. I mean, there's hardly anything to eat there. And yet they eat that stuff and they seem to do well. What are you feeding your soul with so that your faith in Jesus Christ continues to be nurtured and strengthened? Two things. Number one, you feed your soul by coming to church regularly. You can tell this is a confirmation sermon as well, because this is what I'm going to tell the kids. Because so oftentimes kids and their parents, listen to this, kids and their parents at confirmation associate confirmation with graduation. So I'm going to be telling these kids, and I tell you today, keep coming to hear the Word of God. Feed your soul. Don't let Satan win on Sunday morning or any other time when it's time to hear God's Word. You say, we're going to get up, we're going to go to church, we're going to feed on much greener pastures than those sheep are feeding on outside the city walls of Jerusalem. We're going to feed on the green pastures of God's Word, feed our soul, fill our bucket, and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. So you feed and you read. I'm encouraging every one of you to have a daily devotional time in the Word of God. Read a psalm, read a chapter in the book of Mark, read the Gospels, read the epistles, whatever it is, keep feeding your soul. Feed and read. That's how you keep your eyes of faith fixed on Jesus as a prophet. You should have laughed there. That's goofy. If you've been listening at all, that's what I just said is false. I said it because I want to see if you're paying attention. You keep feeding your soul and reading the Word so that your confession that you make today that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, continues to be your confession until the day you die. Yesterday I had a funeral for a guy by the name of Terry Daly. It was so powerful because he was such a strong believer in Jesus. And as he was walking through the dark valley of the shadow of death, do you know what he told his family? I'm going to live forever. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, so will you. How cool is that? So I ask you once again, who do you say Jesus is? May your confession be what Peter said 2,000 years ago. You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. He who came and lived and died and rose and ascended and is coming back. You are the Christ, the Son of the what kind of God? Living God. You got it. And now may the grace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.